The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast. This is show number 28, and we've got three of us around the table today. I'm Simon Head. Joining me are Michael Coxon.
Hello.
And James Staples.
Hello there. A quick mention to the people who are missing.
Yeah, Dan Ferdinand can't be with us, Mike.
Dan has actually gone to a pottery lesson today.
With Dennis Wise.
Dennis Wise is there, yes. And also Marty Jannetty of the Rockers.
Yeah.
Shuttlehall's got a little bit of a headache.
Yeah, he has.
So he's going to sit in the office and stare at a computer screen.
With a headset on, like yeah. Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Very, very strange behaviour. Something we spoke about in the office over the last week, about your sort of heroes when you were playing as a kid. Normally when you play football, you always used to pretend, unless it's just me, that you
to
were...
To be God.
Yeah, and that. Pretending to be half decent, and you pretended to be one of your heroes or a star player. I mean, who were you when you were playing, Jim?
Well, my footballing heroes and the players I pretended to be were a completely different bunch.
Yeah.
Some of the people I pretended to be, Roberto Baggio, after USA 94.
Did you grow the ponytail?
Yeah, I grew a ponytail. I lost a lot of footballs from it as well, just blazing the ball over fences. Klinsmann, when he came to the Premiership, did the dive, and I used to dive around like an absolute knob. Me and my mate Quirk, name check, he had quite a big back garden, and we had a little goal set up in his back garden.
Yeah.
It was like a five-a-side sort of goal.
Yeah.
And we used to try and recreate the Philippe Albert versus Peter Schmeichel chip from the 5-0. Was it 5-0 or 5-1?
It was 5-0, I remember.
5-0. We used to try and recreate that as much as we could. And the main one, Tony Yeboah.
Oh, classic.
Just trying to smash it. We used to play
the other side of that cross
in the common room in a sixth form. We used to play Yeboah, and all you had to do was just try and hit the tennis ball to get off the bar and bounce it down.
Nice.
Also, on Tony Yeboah, did you know that Shoot magazine in their annual 94-95 said that he was a good player but had a weak right foot? That was before he smashed in about...
He was left footed, yeah.
But he smashed in about four goal of the season contenders with his right foot.
Both those great goals were with his right foot.
Yeah. And Ambrose did it this weekend. Anyone see that?
Yes.
Against Sheffield. Great. Like off his knee.
That was right at the last minute as well, wasn't it? It was a late goal, I think.
And a massive win as well, because they're both down there. I digress. That's the week's news. I'm taking away from Mike Oxon here.
Another thing about Tony Bell, he loved Yorkshire puddings. To the extent that my mum used to tell me when I was eating Sunday dinner, if I didn't eat them, Tony Bell would come round and have them off me plate.
That would encourage me not to eat them. I want Tony Yeboah.
That's what I thought. It didn't work, and he never came. Why, Tony? Why?
If he did, he'd just come, knock it off your plate, and then bounce it off the top of the
lampshade.
Yeah. But no, in terms of playground heroes, likewise, I spent a lot of time with my friend Connor playing football in the garden. I do remember one time.
I miss Connor.
He's a good lad. He occasionally listens to the show. Still my best friend. Lives in Horsham. Hello, Connor. He moved there because he thought it was near Leeds. Turned out it was in Sussex. But that's another story. I remember lobbing him when he was Alan Kelly of Sheffield United and I was Robbie Fowler, knocking his cap off. I remember him lobbing me with his knee. Also, I think he was being Robbie Fowler at the time, which begs the question why two staunch Man United fans being Robbie Fowler so much.
He was a man though, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was. Did you have that stupid little plaster over your nose? I
don't think we did, no.
Should have done.
But no, I mean, we tended to go through stages of being Eastern European teams. So in 94 it was Bulgaria with the likes of Stoichkov, Ivanov, Kostadinov, to the point
anyone
where
else with an ov on
the end of the there was a tuft of there was a tuft of grass in his garden that we used the penalty spot that we knew as Lechkov's bald spot.
Oh, like it.
He didn't talk to me for a whole day after I took a penalty and divoted it off.
If it was a bald spot, it shouldn't be a tuft of grass at all.
If you look at Lechkov's hair, he had a spot spot of hair and then bald.
He had an island.
And then hair up.
So it wasn't, yeah. It shouldn't have been called his bald patch.
We were seven.
I'll let you off.
We weren't. Then 96, it was Czech Republic actually, 96 with.
What are you going to say, crew for a minute?
No, yeah, well, you know, the team of Danny Murphy, Robbie Savage,
Seth Johnson.
Seth Johnson. No.
Just, lie injured in the corner. Mummy, I'm Seth Johnson.
And then get paid 60 grand a week to be rubbish. Then, no, but the likes of Nedved, Pavorsky, Berger, and the lesser known Kukas, Nemex, Babels, and Suchaparix.
Suchaparix,
yeah,
great name.
Suchaparix, great defender.
Peter Cooper in goal with the wonderful. He had the original Ronaldo haircut, the bit of hair at the front.
He did.
Nothing at the back. Brilliant. Then 98, Croatia, Suka, Boksic, Prozinecki.
Davor Suka.
I had dinner next to Robert Prozinecki at the Euro Championships 2004.
You did what?
He stayed. Robert Prozinecki stayed in my hotel. We were in the most expensive
hotel. Owned a hotel?
Yeah, I owned. We stayed in the same hotel in Porto.
Yeah.
We drove down from Santiago. I've completely trampled over.
Was it a road trip together?
It was a road trip, but not with him. He just happened to be there. He was staying. It was one of these places where like all dignitaries and stuff. Like, it was the only hotel we could get, and it's the sort of place you dress for breakfast.
Yeah.
And we just turn up, Englanders abroad, you know, going out for breakfast, and you got six waiters serving you like that's what toast, mate. That's what toast.
Yeah. But, bit of Marmite if you got it.
And Robert Prozinecki was staying at our hotel.
Nice.
And went to a restaurant, had a steak dinner, and he was sat right next to me.
A steak dinner. You sound like Del Boy.
Yeah. Did you sell him any dodgy Adidas gear?
No, but my mate Boise did. Hello, I'm all in.
Trevor Francis tracksuit.
From a Mr. Shovel's Bush.
But no, I mean, other than that, there was one other player, Bobby Mims, who myself and Connor had an incident involving Bobby Mims and one of us wetting ourselves through laughter.
Did you say one of you? Was it you?
I'm going to keep it at one of you and let you make your own conclusions. Yeah. But let's say my mum wasn't very happy. I had to have a bath. But it was hilarious, funny, and still, when we want to make each other laugh, we'll say Bobby Mims.
Excellent.
Sometimes I used to pretend to be being interviewed by ITV after a game, and someone would just come and ask if I wanted bread pudding, which was a bit strange.
Was your mum interviewing me?
No, but to be fair, Bob Wilson did used to do that a lot.
Did you see this?
ESPN.
ESPN.
I have to say, ESPN's coverage of the FA Cup is brilliant. I love it. They have a table, like a pundit's table, basically on the touchline. Or in the corner.
It's in the corner flag, by the corner flag.
Yeah.
Now.
And you've got race.
See,
subs.
Do you like, I don't like it. I
love it. I mean, it's very, you know, you either love it or you don't, but I love it. Race stubs, I think it was Steve McManaman and Robbie Savage.
Wearing
the most preposterous drug dealer coat you've ever seen, right? He's there, and McManaman's there with his flipping Dorman's coat on. Absolutely freezing their tits off now. And I think it was half time, wasn't it? And they're thrown back to them after the break. So Stubbs is doing a bit to camera, and a woman, she had a woolly hat and a scarf on.
Okay.
And she came round with a Tupperware box and
walked
right round the front of the table and said, "Would you like some bread pudding?" They're live on air, right? They're live on air.
Oh, the East End of London.
Stubbsy did not bat an eyelid. He just carried on.
See, I would have expected Stubbsy to be right in for the pudding.
He was. Oh, no. He was right in for the pudding. He was like,
but I'm fairly sure
he just forgot he was on air. He started talking to
I'm fairly
her.
Sure it was staged.
It must have been.
It was just McManaman hadn't been told.
We're live. Savage is just like this, shaking his head.
Steve McManaman, the most biased commentator I've ever heard. If you ever watch
except
football
for,
on the
Mike
internet,
Summerby.
Apart from Mike Summerby,
Mike Summerby,
if you ever listen to Steve McManaman commentate on a game on foreign television, obviously only if you're in the foreign country watching it, not at all watching it
Liverpool,
on the internet.
On a shonky telly
overhead.
Does Liverpool count as a foreign country?
He is as partisan as Clive Tilsley.
Oh, controversial.
Well, hey, that night in Barcelona was great.
It was.
How are you going
was.
For, Si? Didn't right. you used to pretend to be Gattuso growing up in Midway?
Yeah.
Just
no.
go around nutting people.
I couldn't grow the facial hair. You know, I'm the oldest one on the show. I'm the only one who can't grow a beard.
Go figure.
When we used to play headers and volleys, we'll talk about this another day, the actual games we used to play. Well, headers and volleys, you always used to have a stint in goal. I was always Walter Zenga, the Italian 90 goalie. Basically because he used to make an average save look brilliant by putting a little flourish on it. He was a king of the camera save, Zenga. Brilliant goalie. But in the main, when I played, I was either Brian Robson. Back then, Man United, they didn't win a lot.
Did you accessorise? Did you do the old wrist support?
Yeah. Wristbands. Yeah, I used to have the wristbands and stuff.
Did you spend 6 months of the year not playing?
What, deliberately popping out my shoulders just for authenticity?
And then sleeping with Claire Tomlinson. Legend, Robbo.
I believe that can stay in. I don't think there's any doubt on
that. Who did you sleep with?
Claire Tomlinson of
Sky Sports.
I thought you were talking about who's the real butch one that does the horse race? That's Claire something.
Claire Balding.
I thought you were talking about
Claire Balding.
I will say Brian Robson, were it not for him, we would have got relegated, so yeah. I shouldn't really slag
Robbo was a legend, and he was a left sided midfield player, and I used to play left back, and I've always fancied myself a bit of a midfield player, and he was the best in the country at the time. Stuart Pearce, I think we talked about him before for the Pubcast 11, but the main guy I wanted to emulate when I was playing was Zico, and I'll talk more about him later on in the show. How's that for production?
I get the feeling that Stu might have signed him for Stu the manager. That can be the only thing I can think of.
Well, speaking of Stu the manager, Stu's not here, so we'll skip that.
Should we let his assistant manager take the press conference?
Basically, it's all gone tits up.
Has it?
The fans aren't happy. They're calling for heads to roll. The players are revolting. They're also not very happy with him. And that's about all for Stu the manager.
Excellent. We'll move on to the other news first. Other stuff you've seen this weekend, Jim?
Well, last night, obviously, we're recording this a day late or 2 days late than we usually do, which gives us an opportunity to talk about last night's game. The best performance last night, best result last night, anyone? What are you going to put out there?
Well, do you know what? I watched virtually no football yesterday. So
okay, Stuart, size out.
It's my girlfriend's birthday, so I didn't watch any football. But Chelsea, Jesus. Fair play.
The football podcast, finger on the pulse.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah, Chelsea got a win, which they needed. The best result last night was outstandingly Doncaster Rovers drawing at Norwich City. They drew 1-1. They had 14 players out injured or suspended.
Right.
And they asked the FA on Monday if they could postpone the game. The FA said no, and they pulled out a draw.
Well, I mean, Sean O'Driscoll at Doncaster, fantastic manager.
They didn't actually score. It was 1-1, but that is a phenomenal result.
Norwich are one of the best teams in the Championship. Yeah.
They're
really good.
They got an OG, which equalised, and Norwich have scored so many late goals. I was watching Sky Sports, just expecting them to pop one in, but they didn't. Yeah. They held on for a draw, which is absolutely outstanding. Also, last night, I noticed that Carlisle played at home to Exeter. Now, that is a trip.
Midweek?
That is a trip.
Put that game midweek. Was that a rearranged game?
It must have been. I think a lot of them were rearranged from all the stuff when the snow happened.
Yeah.
So it must have been, but that is they got a draw, to be fair to it, it was 2-2, but that is an absolute epic.
Anyone who travelled away to that game deserves an absolute medal.
Do they deserve a medal or shoot it? I don't know which.
I'll tell you what,
they deserve a day off.
A social
they deserve.
Any fans who travel to that game, come to London, we'll buy you a pint at the next show.
600 people
if
turn
you
up.
Go from Exeter to Carlisle,
they probably would come here for a bloody pint.
Then London's just a walk down the shops, isn't it? It's easy for
them. Bear in mind Simon Head's in charge, and obviously they'll be buying the pints.
Other things I noticed, obviously we haven't talked since the FA Cup games as well. Basically there was a load of talk, I don't know if you saw this, about the FA Cup could have been being revamped and seeded and whatnot.
Still possible, mate.
Still possible, but I mean the weekend's football with Crawley doing so well against United and Arsenal drawing at Orient has hopefully put pay to it.
The thing I've got to say, the Crawley versus Man United game, fair bait. Now you're a Manchester United fan.
Yeah.
They paid how much for him? 7 million quid?
Is that the guy who looks like he's about 60?
He's the guy that looks about 60. He was homeless, so I'm not sure what the records on his age are.
Yeah.
What's the background? Where are they signing from?
We signed him from Vitória Guimarães, who'd only signed about a month previously.
Did Graham Souness have anything to do with his transfer?
He's the modern day Ali Dia.
What I'll say about Bebe and Gabriel Obertan, who were both very popular.
Who handed in a transfer request?
It's been denied, but Nigel looked good enough. But they both do fantastic for the reserves. It's as if neither can hack the pressure. They've scored some wonderful goals, and a lot of them from wide positions. And I want Bebe more than...
Let's talk about how crap they were. Let's go back to how
Bebe looks like Matthew Fogg, who I went to school with. Just can't pass the ball gently. Just blasts it. A million miles.
Good reference. Good reference.
So, but I mean, this guy is 7 million quid. Crawley.
7 million quid.
Even though Crawley are the richest team in non-league football, they've got some very...
Pablo Mills had a worldie.
I remember Pablo Mills.
Very good player.
I remember him.
Rotherham United, I think he's played for.
He was at Derby as well, and he was linked with all the top clubs. But it was interesting stat at the weekend that they've spent more than
all of League Two
and all of the Scottish Premier Division sides apart from the Old Firm. But no, Crawley were fantastic.
Even take
Crawley have come to Old Trafford and played a lot better than Birmingham did, Blackburn did, Sunderland did.
Yeah.
I mean, even Liverpool did.
Even, I mean, you know, if you read online, there's not a lot of goodwill towards Crawley, and I can understand a lot of it, to be fair, having read it.
You can't take away from the players,
you look at the players they've got, forget the means by which they've got them and any stories about their manager. The ability of their players, put them against Manchester United away in an FA Cup game,
even if it is
to be the width of a crossbar away from a replay,
I went through that.
It's unbelievable.
I went through that United side. You've got Lindegaard, who plays for Denmark.
Yeah.
Rafael in the Brazil squad, not played yet, but in there. Brown and O'Shea, internationals. Fabio, going to be an international.
Bebe, Rooney came on at half time.
Yeah, Rooney came on. Bebe in overtime, both played from the 21s. Carrick, been to World Cups with England.
Yeah.
Fletcher came on, Scotland captain. Hernandez played at World Cup with Mexico. All these players, Chris Smalling, been in the England squad.
I mean, even though massive changes for United, anyone who gets a United contract is going to be a good player.
Yeah,
but unless they're Bebe, right? But other than him, everybody else.
You're forgetting William Prunier.
Okay, and Eric Jemba. So good they named.
That's actually reminded me. My friend who we spoke about earlier, Connor, sent me a text last night saying he got the greatest email ever on the subject of poor United play. He got an email saying, "Please sponsor David May cycling to Machu Picchu."
Okay.
I don't know who it was from. I mean, it's fun out. I hope it was just a spam. I hope it was a Nigerian scam. Just being obscure, but fantastic.
Oh, Manchester United, we pick a well-known player. David May,
big star, stand on chair.
Oh dear.
Where are they from?
Nigeria, China.
China.
We love David May long time.
No, FA Cup. If I was going to make, if you're going to make change to the FA Cup, what would you change? I would change maybe two things.
I'd say
no replays.
Yeah.
Finish it on the day because it gives more scope for shots. I know it removes a little bit of the financial element, but then I think win it on the day, have it on the day,
yeah.
Knock out one day, and give the winners a Champions League place.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I wouldn't say anything about
the Premier League sides would take it more seriously from the start.
I wouldn't. I'd stick with replays. I love a cut replay. Absolutely love it.
Well,
I'd say stick with the replays. Teams won't mind playing one extra game if they can get a Champions League place in it.
True,
possibly. Yeah,
I won't mind at all.
I think the main thing, give the Champions League place. But this talk of seeding, that would be the worst thing to happen to the FA Cup.
That would be the death.
That would be the worst thing.
Because you know our FA have got it in them to bloody do it as well. That's the horrible.
All that would do would be encourage United and Arsenal and Chelsea to play weaker teams because
they're not going
to
get hard draws.
Yeah, they're not going to end up getting Liverpool in the third round like we did this season.
I mean, the way it works out, the big, you know, I can't think of a time where one of the big sides hasn't made it to the semis. So
2008, Portsmouth, West Brom,
yeah,
Cardiff
and
Barnsley.
Yeah. I went to that final. It was awful.
That's why you couldn't remember it, mate. Don't worry about it.
Portsmouth, Cardiff, but in the main, the big teams tend to gravitate towards the final anyway. It's just at the level in the competition at which they start to take it seriously. I think if you seed it, the scope for the big games and the shocks and the chance for the smaller clubs to make their big payday, you wouldn't get a Crawley v Man United otherwise.
No. I bet the real FA Cup on Twitter were going absolutely spare at the thought of that as well. Just don't mess with it. Give it a bit more prestige, if anything. Don't mess with it and make it.
The idea that these small clubs can progress through the rounds and get the big tie,
yeah,
it's because the Premier League sides are being knocked out early doors.
They should. Do you know what they should do? Every player who joins the Premiership should be sat down and taught the history of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And they should be made to realise exactly like, if you Obertan or whatever, if you sat him down, or Bebe or whatever, whatever players you've got to make. I don't think they probably realise. I don't think anyone sat down and explained, listen, right, you're playing Crawley today. To get here, Crawley have had to do this, 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 and this.
This is
to
their game.
When Crawley played in the first round proper, or whenever, the team they played had to do this to get there. You can take it all the way back to the fucking, sorry to swear, but to like August in September when teams start.
Dover knocked out Gillingham. Dover probably one of the teams of the competition.
Yeah, how many games have they played to get there?
When they got to us, and we're a League Two team, they'd played four or five, maybe even six games to get to us.
Yeah.
And they knocked us out, deservedly. They then knocked out, was it Huddersfield? They got done by Huddersfield. But they played someone else.
It was another League Two club.
Is it Rochdale? Is Rochdale or something like that?
No,
it was FC United.
But good memory.
All this is bringing up is great. I remember Northwich Vicks. Northwich Vicks got to the third round thing in 2006. I remember in about October going to watch them play Barrow in the fourth qualifying rounds. And it's that sort of thing that people need to realise, it's not just a January competition. If there's one way I could see rejuvenating it, get rid of the League Cup, introduce something different.
Well, I've had this view for ages with the League Cup. You've got the Johnstone's Paint Trophy, which is a competition just for League One and League Two. Now, the League Cup is the Football League Challenge Trophy, Football League Challenge Cup. Now, previously, that included all the divisions because the top division was Division One. That was a Football League Championship. It's not anymore, it's Premier League. Get rid of the Premier League. Premier League teams won't cry about it.
Yeah.
They'll probably appreciate having the extra days. So, make it a Football League competition again. So, you've got the Football League Cup for the three divisions. Championship, League One, League Two. You've got the FA Cup, free for all, everybody in, no seedings. It's seeded already.
Mm.
This is the thing. People miss this. It's seeded already because the Premier League sides don't come in until the third round. But you've got the best football day, the three best football days of the year are opening day, the final day, and FA Cup first round day. First round when all the little teams are in. And you've got championship, so you've got League One sides against
probably one of the biggest highlights in the season is the draw for the FA Cup third round, regardless of whether Gillingham are in it or not, and then third round day, because you'll always get at least two or three non-league teams playing at, even if they're league grounds like your Huddersfield and stuff like that, small teams going there. I love watching that. I love just seeing if there's going to be an upset.
I would extend that to being five great days of the kind that have the third round and the FA Cup final, which I think has lost some of its shine, and I will say a lot of it is from not being on BBC anymore, because they used to give a day to it, whereas now it's ITV give you 2 hours.
I still absolutely love it as well.
You'd sit there from 12 o'clock watching, and it'd be the run through the whole season.
During this revamp they're talking about changing it from a 3 o'clock Saturday FA Cup final. When they built Wembley, they actually built the way the roof is to coincide with the sun on an FA Cup final.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, it's one of the big disappointing things about the playoff finals is they're not going to be played at Wembley. The championship ones are, but it's going to be a shame for those fans in League Two, League One, don't get their day at Wembley. I think, and that's another thing about the FA Cup, don't have the semi-finals at Wembley.
No,
don't have them.
They've got to, because they signed a contract.
It's a money thing.
Have the semi-finals at Wembley if it is Chelsea Arsenal, or if it's Man United Man City, or if it's Liverpool Everton, because they're a big game. You're going to get loads of people there. It'd be a great atmosphere.
Equally, okay, Liverpool Everton, have it at Old Trafford. It's not too far to go. If it's a Man U Arsenal, then you do it at Villa Park.
I'd say Man United Arsenal do. If it's the same city, the only problem is, say you have United City at Anfield, it's going to be a lot of stuff for the police. I know they can handle it,
Chelsea Arsenal.
You don't decide the stadiums until you know the teams.
Yeah.
Chelsea Arsenal, FA Cup Sunday. Where would you play? FA Cup Sunday, Chelsea Arsenal.
I would have it at
White Hart Lane.
Brisbane Road, definitely. Barry Hearn, there's your money.
Olympic Stadium, at the home of West Ham.
Griffin Park, getting drunk before, aren't
we? I love Griffin Park. Is probably my top three favourite stadiums in the world.
All three of them?
Yeah. Top three.
Right. It's my top top four with
talking of cup finals. The other thing, Champions League final ticket. Anyone want to remortgage their house and get one?
That is nuts. Family ticket, how much?
We could probably talk about that next week.
Brilliant statistic I saw on the Mirror website. For a family of four, it's going to cost you, I think, around £700. For an extra £50, you can get an adult and child season ticket at Old Trafford. So you could see nine Premier League games.
Don't want to put your family through that.
Actually, Old Trafford season tickets are not that expensive. They're not.
But that's what it is. See, top level football all season. Alternate weeks. Mum and son go 1 week, father and daughter the next.
Perfect. Perfect. Right, okay, we'll move on to our podcast 11. Now, I have to apologise at this point. I don't have the actual quote percentages. I do have the order. So I remember the order. In fifth place, just to go back, we're looking at the right wing here, the right midfielder, right wing. In fifth place was David Beckham. Very popular player.
How much percentage of the vote?
I couldn't tell you that, Jim.
I would say on ability, that's fair. I mean, I love that.
David Beckham, fifth place. In fourth place was Cristiano Ronaldo.
So the modern ones are coming.
I have to say, in all fairness to Stuart, the internet whore, he had tweeted the living daylights out of this early doors. And Ronaldo,
maybe why he got his headache.
Ronaldo was the early front runner. If he got quickly overtaken,
it's because he started doing loads of step overs and got quickly overtaken.
Third place was my selection, Jairzinho.
I'm happy with this top two. I'm happy with this. Let's shake hands, Mike.
To be honest, Jairzinho, I think on that list, based on what they've done in the game, I would have put him third as well. In second place was George Best.
Which meant
that Garrincha, the little bird, wins the vote and the spot on the right side of midfield. Now,
I think Garrincha's probably representative of the football podcasters.
Yes, exactly.
Someone's got a wobbly leg, a big knob, and died early. It's a bit harsh.
We all know about Dan Ferdinand and goats.
So Garrincha makes it into the team.
So we've now got goalkeeper
Iker Casillas,
right back Gary Neville,
left back Stuart Pearce,
centre back
Frank Abrazzi was a legend, and Jim, the other one was
Carlos Puyol.
Midfield, we've got the two wide men,
so left wing
Georgie Hadji,
Georgie Hadji, the Maradona of the Carpathians,
right wing midfield, also
Jim's man Garrincha, the little bird. We now move into centre midfield, where we're looking at the retired legend. What we're going to do, what we did with the centre halves. So we're going to have one current player, one retired legend. We're going to look at the retired legends this week. Before we start, I'll tell you about
Stuart Hoare.
I forgot Stuart's name. Stuart's gone for Zinedine Zidane. More of which, obviously, everyone knows about Zizou. You'll be able to read about him on the podcast blog, as written by Stu, as lifted by Wikipedia.
Exactly, yeah, that's all he'll do. Put a couple of words, mostly one syllable words. Yeah.
Jim.
Ferdinand's going to do his as well.
Yes.
Spoke to him. He's not too sure he's going to pick yet. He doesn't know.
Still umming and ahhing.
Okay. I think he was contemplating Tim Sherwood. He also considered nominating the Bushwhackers as a pair for central midfield.
Very good. Okay, my player, 391 appearances, 83 goals, 57 caps for his nation and 10 goals. Paul Gascoigne.
Leg end.
You asked us about our Playground Heroes. It actually went through on Twitter as well, didn't it? Heroes on Friday.
We got a good response to that, actually.
Yeah, well, I mentioned a few of mine earlier in the show, but Paul Gascoigne was another one of mine. You were 96. I remember I had blonde hair like that and I was a bit chubby, I've got to be honest. Obviously, I'm not now.
You went to Thailand as well, didn't you?
Yeah, something like that. And I drank like a bastard at the age of 14 or whatever I was.
You were 14 in 96, Christ.
13. Yeah, 13, 14, something like that.
I was 8.
I was 20.
That's moment of silence. And okay, so Gazza, obviously, Euro 96 is what I remember him from as well, but obviously, Italian 90, he became an international superstar. Ignore the nepotism facets and the crazy links to mad Geordie bastards of recent times, and just he was an absolute hero of mine, yeah. And just a phenomenal player, absolutely phenomenal player. 1991, got the FA Cup winners medal whilst on a stretcher with half a leg, Gary Charles. 1992, moved to Lazio, one of the very few English players as well around that time. I know he had a lot of injury problems at Lazio, and he broke his leg in training and whatnot, but they absolutely loved him over
there. They adore him still.
And he was a bloody good player on the pitch. That was when Channel 4 was like the Italian 90s as well, with James Richardson, yeah. And yeah. Goal Lazio and all that sort of stuff. Loved it. 1995, back to Rangers. He scored the most goals of his career for Rangers.
He was brilliant at Rangers.
Scored about 30 goals for Rangers, and he got about 20 at Newcastle, so he overscored. Mind you, he was playing in the SPL, and Rangers were pretty damn good at the time as well. But even then, he was on his head, the secretarian thing with
showing the referees yellow cards.
Yeah,
well.
But that was just brilliant. That was just
he picked up the card, showed it to him, and he puts him for it.
Yeah. And then obviously that moves on to 96, where he scored that goal. Colin Hendry's still looking up in the air for that ball, I think.
And then I was at a wedding that day.
Oh, that's bad news.
Not good news.
The way it all ended for England was wasn't really great, because he basically really helped us get to the France 98, the game in out in Italy and stuff like that. And it was a hard qualifying group there, especially on the back of,
well, we lost to Italy at Wembley, didn't we?
Yeah.
Zola,
Ian scored. Walker.
Yeah.
And then we got the draw. Yeah, Walker done it his near post. Then we got the draw out there with Ince and the blood and stuff like that. And he really did. He became a different player as well, because in 96 it was all about the skill, and he was more of a pot of playmaker in the middle.
He sort of sat a little bit.
Yeah.
And I remember the last home game, I think it was against Moldova or someone. And
fantastic.
It was I think it was the day after Diana died, or the week that Diana died, and the country was on its arse, and everyone was really depressed, and everyone looked at the England team and said, right, come on, lift us. And they all had the little black armband and the ribbon thing on.
Yeah.
And Gascoigne scored in that game, and he ran the show.
That was a fantastic finish for him as well.
And then I think that was the last competitive game before they went off to La Manga for the training.
Yeah.
And then obviously Glenn Hoddle with his sunglasses on announced that he wasn't going to pick him. To widespread shock, I think.
It was, yeah.
He might not have been a starter, possibly, but, you know, he could have made a difference. He's a game changer.
The best thing I would say about Gazza from that as well, because apparently he did go a bit mad when Glenn Hoddle told him, but there were a few of them who weren't picked, or Nicky Butt was one, I think Ray Parr as well, but it was Phil Neville, who at the time was still only 21, and Gazza sat down with him, took him aside, despite all he'd gone through, comforted him.
Really?
And Phil Neville spoke about it since, linking their autobiography that he did many moons ago, about how much of a difference it made and what a genuinely nice guy he was.
Yeah.
Despite his heartache, he
should have dedicated the penalty to him on Saturday, shouldn't he?
Phil Neville gets a lot of unfair stick, I think. Largely down to that silly tackle against Moldovan.
And his surname.
And the fact that he's Gary Neville's brother. He's a decent bloke, Phil Neville. And I'm a big fan of Phil Neville, I have to say. But yeah.
So, Paul Gascoigne, I'll get some clips up, I'll get a little bit of bio.
I don't think you'll struggle to find any highlight footage of him online somehow.
Absolutely.
There'll be a bit. Okay, Mike, have you gone for it?
I've also gone for an English player. As I said last week, I won't nominate somebody from my club unless they are truly great.
We spoke about this. You said to me, "Sorry, I can't nominate him because he's United."
I did.
And I said, "You have to nominate him. He has to be in."
He was the only
on that list.
He was our former player nominated for the Football Podcast Hall of Fame when we did the Pubbies.
Yep. Lifetime Achievement, wasn't it? Lifetime Achievement Award.
He was Lifetime Achievement. Yeah, I was the last person to pick, but he is possibly the greatest English player of all time, Sir Bobby Charlton.
Yeah.
106 caps for England, 49 goals, which largely from midfield, still a record.
That's incredible, isn't it?
I mean, Gary Lineker could have broke it, missed penalties, got substituted, but still brilliant. Until a couple of years ago, United's all-time appearance holder, until Ryan Giggs overtook him, 758 games for United, 249 goals, which is still a club record.
Yep.
Captain the club. Obviously won the league, the European Cup, won the World Cup, but I want to focus on a few things you might not think about. He was voted the best player of the 1966 World Cup, so when people go on about Bobby Moore, Jeff Hurst, who hardly played until the latter rounds.
Yeah,
brilliant. Also voted in two World Cup All-Star teams, one of few players to do that.
Yeah.
Voted in the all-time World Cup team by FIFA.
That's
so alongside alongside Michel Platini, who's not nominated, and ahead of Johan Cruyff.
That's incredible.
That's very voted England's best player in the UEFA Jubilee Awards, voted United's greatest player in Art Opus, which was a money spinning book they released a few years ago.
Yeah.
The statue outside Old Trafford is part of the Holy Trinity with Bestie and Dennis Law.
Yeah.
But genuinely, I mean, he's just a truly nice bloke, a great player, a great servant. One thing that I was reading about him earlier, he survived the Munich air disaster, obviously. He was the first.
He was pulling bodies out of the plane.
He was after Harry Gregg pulled him out and thought him and Dennis Violet were dead.
Yeah.
And then turned around and Bobby Charlton and Dennis Violet were there helping him pull bodies out. But he was the first United player to return to Manchester. And a couple of days later, he was pictured in the streets of Manchester playing football with kids because he just wanted to play that much.
Yeah. And I bet he won.
And helped over. Also, one thing that sticks out for me, because obviously that's a bit before my time, 2008 Champions League final, United beat Chelsea on penalties. I remember Peter Kenyon leading the Chelsea team up. Obviously, United, we don't have a great relationship with Peter Kenyon, turned his back on us, lifelong fan.
Yeah.
He took a medal off Platini with all the players, walked down as if he'd done something.
Yeah.
Bobby Charlton went up there, refused his medal.
He did.
Wouldn't have it round his neck because he didn't play a part. Fantastic.
And not one fan in the ground would have begrudged him having one either.
No. I mean, he's a true icon of the club. He's still on the board. He invited the Chilean miners to the club earlier this year because he's the son of a miner.
Yeah.
He's not lost, for want of a better phrase, the common touch, but a true legend, maybe the greatest English player of all time.
I have to say,
maybe United's greatest player of all time, but
I've through work and stuff, I've not interviewed an enormous amount of people. I've interviewed a few in different sports and I've met various famous people. I've only ever been starstruck once, and that was about 3-4 years ago when I met Sir Bobby Charlton. I had the chance to go to Old Trafford. There was I think it was a Premier League Schools Cup final, and they were doing them all on the pitch at Old Trafford, and Sir Bobby was a guest of honour there, and I interviewed Sir Bobby and I got 10 minutes with him. Actually no, I was allowed 5 minutes, but he spoke to the people so that we had 10 because he just enjoyed talking so much. And he's the nicest guy I've ever met in my life.
I had a similar story with Timmy Mallett. But it wasn't at a soccer school, and he was a prat. So.
To be fair, the only person I've ever been starstruck by was Bret Hitman Hart. So.
And that wasn't that long ago, was it?
No. But, no, I mean... But
he's
got a lovely house as well. I drive past it on the way to my mate Birch's. But,
sounds a little bit stalkerish, Mark.
He won't let me in anymore. One thing that shows sort of different areas in the last game he ever played for United was against Chelsea.
Yeah.
And the Chelsea chairman, to commemorate that at the time, gave him a cigarette case.
They do that, don't they? Yes,
brilliant.
I remember that.
And he's still got it.
I'm going to nominate a guy with the most unfootball-like name in the world. His name is Arthur.
I know who you're talking about.
This guy, his full name is Arthur Antunes de Coimbra
Scargill,
known more popularly as Zico. You've heard all the Wayne Rooney songs about seeing the white pillow.
Yeah.
This man was the man who they originally called the White Pele.
Yeah.
And if you ever saw him play, and anyone who saw him play at the time would know exactly why, they weren't taking the mickey. He was unbelievable.
He was the Giannino of his time,
the Branco of his time.
When I was growing up in the 80s, he was the best, probably the best player in the world, in the early 80s. Then Maradona came along, and Maradona took it to an extra level. But he was the best passer of football I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of players since, including your Zidanes and people like that. This guy had vision like no player I've ever seen. Not only did he do that, he was a centre midfield player. He created so many goals. His goal scoring record was unbelievable, and I'll mention this in a minute. But just for Brazil, he played 72 games for Brazil, so a good career for the Brazilian national team. Not one of the leading cap winners. In those 72 games, playing in the middle of midfield, he scored 52 goals.
Bam.
That is 52 goals. And he was renowned, probably even still now, as one of the greatest free kick takers ever. You can keep your Cristiano Ronaldo. This guy was unreal. No less a man than Pele said that throughout the years, only one player that came closest to me as a footballer was Zico. Now, bear in mind, he knows Maradona and, you know, Zidane and people like that. He said Zico was the one who came. I mean, it's a bit bigging yourself up from Pele, but he was quite good, to be fair. Take that out of the equation, though, for someone like Pele to say that Zico was that good, that shows you how good he was. If you look back at World Cup history, at the great players who never won a World Cup, George Best would be on that list. But you probably struggle to find too many who you could put at that level. Zico would be at that level. Centre midfielder, Zico, created an amazing amount of goals with his passing. His goal scoring record is nuts. I checked out his goal scoring record. In 406 games over his career, club and country, 245 goals.
Okay, so he's Brazilian, so it's probably about 140.
How many of them came in the Intertoto Cup then?
Very few, almost none.
Less than Amiobi then.
It is crazy that they
don't. Better than one in two for a centre midfield player. Yeah. Playing in Serie A, playing in Brazil. He had a stint at the end of his career in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Where his goal scoring record was, like, ratio wise, the same as it was everywhere else. And obviously for Brazil.
He must be rubbish then. He's quite crazy in Japan.
Well, he was about 50 when he played in Japan.
We'll let him
and
off.
And he then went on to become a very successful manager. But he's, as I say, I mean, earlier in the show, he was the one player that I wanted to play like when I was a kid. And I still want to get that 1982 number 10 World Cup shirt, and I'll buy one at some point. I still don't have one, so I'm going to get one of them at some point. He's my favourite player of all time. He's my absolute favourite player of all time. Is he the best player of all time? No. Is he my favourite player? Yes.
So you're going to be gutted if he doesn't get in. You best get tweeting.
Well, that's it. I'd love him to get in, but I mean, I know that, you know, there's a lot of really good players that are in the list. If he doesn't make it, he doesn't make it. And I know that a lot of the newer players tend to do well, because we get a lot of people
like Garrincha.
Like Garrincha, the youngster. Yeah.
Well, then again, yeah, it's interesting to see two.
I was really pleased. I was really pleased that he got in, because, you know, but Zico, my favourite player, and he'd be great if he gets in. If he doesn't, then he'd be beaten by a very good player.
It's another week of players who none of us could really begrudge.
No, they're all top class. If Sir Bobby gets in, I'll be delighted. You know, if Gazza gets in, you can't cry over that. And Zidane, modern day legend. So, you know, I don't know who Dan's going to come out with. Perry Groves, probably.
We'll see. But,
we'll see. Jim.
Yeah, know who are you this week? I'm saving it for next week. But yeah. I have got a little update for you, because I know Mike was going to do this, but there's been no games, has there? But
there's not an Northwich Vicks haven't played.
Yeah.
And Stuart's obviously not here. He's nursing a horrible, horrible headache, which we all hope he recovers from.
Yeah.
Best of luck, Stuart. Yeah. My thoughts are with you.
Any flowers, send them to 1 Canada Square.
Yeah, do that, because he's got...
Stuart Hall.
He's got hay fever, so that just piss him off even more, so definitely do that.
Send him some lilies, he'll love it.
Gave you my last Hastings update on the 14th of February. I did say Hastings. There, trust me. Pub's gone very quiet, hasn't it?
It has.
It's like a minute silence for your age again, Simon. The whole pub doing it. 14th of February, I gave you a Hastings update, in which they'd gone on a 3-match unbeaten run, including a win for the first time in about 8 years.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, don't do an update then.
Don't do an update.
Played 2 games since my update. They lost 3-0 and they lost 2-1 last night.
Oh, dear.
To make it even worse, last night they lost to Tunbridge Angels, who, to be fair to them, are right up promotion contenders in the league.
Yeah.
They lost 2-1. The scores were ex-United players, Fraser Logan, and this is going to hurt you, Adia Larunda scored against them. I don't know. I was looking at the website to see if he celebrated.
Judas.
There was no mention.
Lion Judas is Danny Baker.
No mention of whether whether he celebrated or not. But I hope he didn't.
And the suffix is angels. I mean, that's the worst suffix in football.
Yeah. So he scored, and then there was also 8 minutes of stoppage time because Larunda had to go off with a facial injury.
Was celebrating that much
and was concussed. But it doesn't say on the website whether it was Adia Larunda who scored for Tunbridge or Tim who was playing for Hastings. So I'm not sure. I hope it was Addy, which sounds
imagine
a bit harsh.
50-50 between those two.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of games I've been to,
I didn't call it.
Able to tell which Arlunda it is who's injured.
If it's a 50-50 and one of them, Arlundas! And they both go, oh, come on. So, yeah, so they're back in the mire, really. So
okay.
The unbeaten run's gone out the window. So
cool. I'll update us on Pisa Head next week.
Good stuff.
Pub ammo time, Mike.
Pub ammo, right. This week, there's a trending topic at the moment on Twitter, which is the 5 best frontmen of all time.
Okay.
In terms of bands rather than strikers.
Okay.
So it's more Morrissey than Clinton Morrison.
Roger Daltrey on that.
Roger Daltrey rather than Roger Hunt.
Yes.
I personally didn't go for Daltrey, but I did go for Morrissey, but that's another story.
Morrissey?
So I love Morrissey, I love the Smiths. We'll go into that another time. Top 5 musical footballers.
Yeah.
Number 5, Glenn and Chris.
Fair enough.
Diamond Lights, number 12. like the Sex Pistols.
Crowbarred into the top five on
my. You mention it every show.
Like the Sex Pistols, the Lars and the Avalanches before them were waiting for follow-up material. But it's due any time. Number four, Paul Gascoigne featuring Lindisfarne, Fog on the Tyne.
Classic.
Reach number two.
Classic.
We spoke about him earlier.
Fog on the Tyne, it's all mine.
Fantastic. Nowadays, when he sees Fog on the Tyne, it's probably not there.
No.
But we don't mind. Number three, Christian Daly.
Parish Magazine is known by his teammates.
Yeah.
Go on.
Scottish centre-half, played for the likes of Charlton, West Ham. He was frontman of and guitarist of the wonderfully named Hooligan.
Frontman and guitarist, was it just him? Was it a
I
one
think it probably
band?
Was.
It was, wasn't it? He was just playing local pubs.
It was him getting into fights with people, which, for a footballer, great. I think he's fronting the Respect campaign next season.
Number two.
Number two, Paul McGregor.
I remember him.
Ex-Nottingham Forest, scored in the UEFA Cup against Lyon. Voted the 25th best Forest player between 1971 and 2001 by...
I thought it was going to be between 1971 and 1973.
Yeah. No, by Forest fan site, lost that loving feeling. He was ahead of Steve Chettle. And Jermaine Genius, Brian Roy.
Above Brian Roy, that's scandalous.
It's ridiculous. But he was also the frontman of Britpop band Merck, who didn't quite reach the heights of Oasis or Blur or even Menswear, but...
he had a very Britpop haircut.
He did, yes. He looked like a member of Dodgy.
He did.
And his skills were dodgy.
Who's the number one?
Number one, James Allen, formerly of Cowden Beath.
I know, I've
promotion
seen him
live. With. Won promotion with them from the Scottish 3rd Division. Also played for East Fife, Queen's Park, Gretna, Stirling Albion and Dumbarton.
I'm sure he wasn't here at Rangers or Celtic as well.
He might have been as a youth. He's now the frontman of Mercury-nominated gloom rockers Glas Vegas.
Really?
He's one of the only people, in fact I think he's the only person in Britain to have both played football and played in a band at Hampden Park. So he played for Queen's Park, he played the home games there.
Surely Ian Botham must have done that, he's done everything.
Yeah, well, Ian Botham, yeah, I think he was the captain at Cowden Beath when James Allen was there.
But Glas Vegas, he went missing.
He did,
he went
for
missing
for days.
Longer than that. I'm sure it was longer than that.
Well,
that
just sort of go for a walk.
It was about a week when they were up for the Mercuries, they were meant to perform, he didn't turn up. He also once turned up refusing to let go of two bags, both of which had a goldfish in, and was found singing Carpenter songs to them.
He's absolutely mental.
That's brilliant.
Two of the podcasters have seen him live as well. Stuart went to Coco and watched Glas Vegas. He hated it.
You have missed someone off that list, I have to say. Kevin Keegan needs to be on that list.
Oh, Kevin Keegan.
He did a song called Head Over Heels. YouTube it. It is probably the worst song you've ever heard in your life.
Head Over Heels. Didn't Wayne Rooney do a cover version of that against Man City?
Very good.
About the 82nd minute.
Very good.
Also, look up Andy Cole and Ian Wright's attempts at...
Andy Cole was outstanding.
Outstanding. And Ian Wright's Do the Right Thing, which when I was 7 I listed as one of my favourite songs.
But modern
if only
day,
Bradley had listened to that song.
Modern day, Asamoah Gyan, friend of the show.
Yes.
He did a song with... He's known as Baby Jet. It's him and some ragga artist.
One of those musicians.
Yes, it's one of those. Playing some funky hot beats. And yeah, I think we might actually have that on our website. I might have included that as part of my bid to get him in.
Doesn't Bolo Zenden dance in the music video?
I don't know, but
he's
kind of like Simon's version of Bez. But yeah, okay, great. It's time for the weekend ACCA.
Only one result off last week, weren't we? QPR let us down.
QPR let us down. The lads from Scotland did us proud. Motherwell, Jamie Borthwick, thank you very much. We shall buy you a pint on Saturday.
Sticking with that theme, I've done three results, and I'm going to get the boys to predict Aberdeen Hearts, which we're watching in the sports.
We're going to watch that with them on Saturday, yeah.
I've gone for Bury to beat Crewe at home.
Yeah.
Southampton to beat Swindon at home.
Yeah.
Actually, we were talking about Exeter and their long trip. Southampton played Hartlepool away last night.
That's a big old one.
Yeah, 0-0, which is another
one. And you've got to go to Hartlepool.
And Swindon, much to my enjoyment, are having a doggo season.
Yeah.
Right down the bottom. And then AFC Wimbledon, friend of the show, Lee Minchill, returning to fitness pretty soon. Home to Altrincham. They need a win because they dropped points last night and Crawley won, so they are in the mire.
But for three home wins.
Yeah, three home wins, and obviously we'll get the boys voted on Aberdeen Hearts. So some of them are Hearts fans, aren't they? A couple of them.
Yeah, I think Jamie's a Hearts fan, and he'll kill me if I'm wrong. I think Simon might be a Hearts fan as well.
We'll have a little. We'll, we'll have a little word with them then, so we'll see what else is there.
And I think Simon is also a Gillingham fan now as well.
Good.
Largely down to our mumblings on here, so it's good. We've at least, you know, there is a point to this.
We've converted.
We've converted one extra person, that's good. Right, we will finish with Class and Arse, and it's my turn to step into the breach. Class this week, North London Premier League, Arsenal and Tottenham. Both of them went into Europe this week against big name sides, did the business. They've both got leads going into the second leg.
Go on, Blackpool.
Spurs, yeah.
Come on, Leighton Orient.
Spurs were brilliant against against AC Milan. Arsenal, obviously, against Barcelona. Great performance against them. Whether they'll get through the second legs, I fancy Spurs to do quite well in this competition. Arsenal, I think, have still got a lot to do at the Camp.
Barcelona are going to score, aren't they? It's whether Arsenal can get one themselves, really.
But I think that, you know, they've got it in them to score in a counter attack. If they do, then it's all up for grabs for them. So, Arse of the week. There is only one Arse of the week. Gennaro Gattuso. You know, his legs went a couple of years ago, and now he's lost his mind as well. He spent the entire game against Spurs running around like a nutter trying to kick people. He was punting Peter Crouch around the place, which he didn't get very, you know, he wasn't too happy when Crouch gave him one back at some point.
Crouch didn't care, did he? Just calm down.
He told him to chill the F out, he did. He just stood in front of the
fridge out.
Chill the fridge out.
He must have switched it off, so he needs to.
And then he goes and picks on flipping Joe Jordan. Of all the 60-year-old Scotsmen you could find, don't pick on Joe Jordan. He's mad.
Pick on Joe Kinnear. If Joe Kinnear was in a fight as well, I reckon he's got tiny little arms. He wouldn't really be able
Velociraptor.
To get here. Yeah, exactly. Like a T-Rex. Very, like or a meerkat, maybe.
There you go. Gennaro Gattuso, Arse of the Week. Join us on the website, footballpodcast.co.uk. Email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on Twitter, @footballpodcast, @SimonHead, @JimStaples, @MichaelCoxon. Stu the manager, Stu_the manager, and Dan Ferdinand. We'll finish off with a little dissy from Mike.
Johnny Depp played slide guitar on ill-fated Oasis album Be Here Now.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.